Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 and of course with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. It is officially 7 o'clock. A minute after, and just a quick refresh on some of the conversations we had in the first hour of the show. Everything, including unpacking the markets, which have been doing incredibly well. You know that image? We should actually find the audio clip for you. It's the finance minister in Uganda who says the economy is doing. Well, maybe in this case, it's not the economy, but more so the markets. And that's largely because of the political shifts that we are seeing. Donald Trump doing a U-turn in terms of the tariffs and trade war he imposed on China. We still have to see how it will go, though, another 90 days before there's any finality to it. But also making progress in the U.S. relationship with the U.K., even Saudi Arabia, where an investment conference took place recently. All of this bodes well for investor confidence. Investors start putting more money into the stock exchange and various companies, and that then translates into better investment portfolios for you and I. These are just a few of the factors that have certainly come through to the fore on the news headlines so far for today, and of course when it comes to the markets. So we continue to follow through with it just to get a better understanding of how we've been faring. The unfortunate part, though, that is showing that South Africa's economy is going is unemployment. We did speak to the representative of StatsSA, Soli Mulai, who gave us a better insight into how the numbers are captured, which data proves to be quite critical, how the trend is performing. And one thing he highlighted was the fact that unemployed graduates, that figure is the one that we need to be worried about, because over the last 5 years, the trend indicates that that has been a growing pool of members of the unemployed population in South Africa. So we do need to be mindful of this. And, of course, youth unemployment in the country, which continues to be a significant threat and concern to all of us. Beyond that, we also gave you a conversation on all things to do with investing with Alan Gray. And in a moment, we're going to personalize all of this information for you. But of course, do feel free to share your voice notes with us. 063-688-0959. We are more than happy to take your voice notes. And of course, get your conversation going with us as we talk about themes and topics that hit so close to home. I want to find out from you. Do you work for the money or for the love? It's an unfair question, because the truth is, in a perfect world, you can have both. But what we are going to talk about now is the latest views on salary increases. And sometimes a salary increase isn't enough to retain talent, even though many South Africans do work for a reward. We're going to get some details into this, lots of questions, insight and analysis. And most importantly, we want to hear your experience and your feedback. Is money enough to keep you employed at your job? Give us a call, 086-000-959. Feel free to share your thoughts on WhatsApp, 063-688-0959.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
On
the street, on the air.
Rim Channel, as you know, is an organization that we've spoken to many a times here on the show. Good friends and partners. They are associated with Old Mutual, but largely providing a lot more detail and clarity when it comes to the recruitment process and reward structures that employers can implement. Rim Channel has recently published the April 2025 salary and wage survey, which indicates that employees in South Africa continue to face a cost of living pressures with high levels of consumer inflation. But despite that, what does it reveal when it comes to the gap between salary increases as well as providing the necessary rewards and support for employers? We're going to take a look at that recent report now with Lindiwe Sibesha, Managing Director of REM Channel. Such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Gugu. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Always excited to speak to you, Sisley Ndiwe, especially on a topic that hits so close to home for so many South Africans. And maybe before we get into the big question, you know, whether South Africans work for the money or for the joy of it all, and if money can keep them, maybe we just need to reflect on the importance of the REM Channel Salary and Wage Survey. Help us understand what kind of information, knowledge and insight the survey looks to reveal.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gugu. We do this survey twice a year, so in April as well as in October, aligning to obviously a lot of organizations' year-ends and when they usually would adjust salaries or review salaries. And it really helps a lot in terms of giving you a sense of the REM and benefits trends, what is being considered when those salary increases are planned for, and what is anticipated and ultimately what is granted. So a lot of the insights that we share in this report really help in the planning, but also in the execution of those salary adjustment reviews that are done by organizations annually.
Got you. And maybe if you can help us understand how the data and information is collated.
Yes, we survey quite a lot of our clients and non-clients for that matter. So we really solicit participation every time we do the survey. And this time around, we had quite a number of organizations participate. In fact, those organizations represent about 322,000 employees, which then makes the quality of the information that we can get out of that very, very rich. So we get those participants, we look at the data, we validate, we check that it's accurate, and then we obviously do the analysis and the trend and provide that back to those clients that have participated, but also to non-clients as well.
100%. Let's take a look at the data and what it does reveal. And I guess no secret, many South Africans do work hard for their money because the cost of living has just been quite exorbitant in the country of late.
Absolutely, Gugu. And I think we are all encouraged by the downward trajectory when it comes to the CPI and the inflation rate, as a lot of companies use that as a factor or one of the factors that they would consider in terms of budgeting for those increases. However, if we look at the actual cost of living, as you were saying, it's really, really much higher than the inflation figures that we are seeing. It is encouraging, though, to see that the average salary increases that we have seen being granted are higher than the CPI at about a 5.82%, slightly lower than what we saw last year, which was about 6.9%, which talks to the narrowing gap between that CPI and what's being granted as a reflection of the cost constraints that I think organizations themselves have to take into account.
Mm. Are we finding that despite the cost pressures and lack of income growth, that South Africans are still staying with their employers? What influence is it playing there in terms of loyalty and retention?
Yeah, Google. So part of the survey obviously looks at labor turnover because we want to see with salary adjustments and obviously all that is being considered from a retention perspective, are people actually staying with the organization? And I think this time around, it's actually encouraging to see the overall labor turnover rate has reduced. So at the last year's reading, it was 15.5%. It is now standing at 13.5%. So there has been a positive reduction in that. And it could be a function of a number of things. It could be a function of obviously a very constrained job market. If there are no opportunities, people are not going to necessarily leave. It could be a function of people just needing to stay put for a bit because there's so much activity as we have seen, including downsizing by a lot of organizations. So it is a positive trajectory from that perspective. But what we are concerned about is obviously people need to stay because they are productive. Mm-hmm. So if people are staying because they've got no other options, then obviously that number doesn't necessarily ring positively as we would think. Mm-hmm. Just to add on to that, this is overall labor turnover, Gugu, the numbers that I have just read out. Out of that, there are different categories or reasons why people would leave. One of the reasons that we watch very closely is resignation, because resignation is initiated by the employee. So we are seeing that number being 39%. So it is 2% higher than last year at this time, where individuals have opted to leave their employer. And the reasons that are given for resignation is higher pay, better career prospects, which tells you that people are seeking more money given the high pressures from a financial perspective that we spoke about earlier.
Sure. I guess no surprises. And for many of our listeners who are participating, I'm keen to hear so many of their voice notes, 063-688-0959, because a lot of the information you're sharing with us as well, Sislindiwe, is information and data that we can relate to. Better prospects and higher income that can be earned. But this also I guess, proves to be a bit of a conundrum for employers as to how then do they get the best value, lower staff turnover, and keep the best talent in their building and in their organization. How do they need to improve on their employee value proposition?
Absolutely, Gugu. And it talks to fair pay and competitive pay, for that matter, being one element of a comprehensive employee value proposition, as you've just said. If you listen to employees and trying to understand what are the issues that could impact their engagement and productivity, for that matter, you will find, for instance, in the survey, we've got quite a number of factors that have been highlighted as potentially needing to be considered in crafting that value proposition. One of the key things that keeps coming out, Gugu, is overall employee well-being support, flexibility in terms of work arrangements, flexibility in terms of the type of benefits that are part of those packages that employees get. So employees need to be given, for instance, some sort of leeway in terms of determining how much to save towards for retirement, obviously in a responsible way, but people are at different life stages and they are asking that employers please consider their needs in the short term as well as in the long term in the way that these benefits are structured. People are obviously looking at making sure that the jobs that they do are aligned from a skills perspective to their abilities. So they are asking for a lot more investment in skills development, in training, in making sure that they continuously grow from that perspective as well. We are also seeing employees asking for conducive work environments. I think you and I spoke previously around how important it is to have a productive or a healthy relationship amongst colleagues as well as with the line manager that oversees your work. So they are asking that all those factors are considered in terms of creating a value proposition that is enhancing and enabling from a productivity perspective.
100%. This is intriguing because it speaks to benefits that we often hear employees talk about. Is this right across the spectrum, though, regardless of age? Because we do know that certain generational shifts play an influence in the demands, requirements, or requests of employees.
It is different by generation, Gugu. You are absolutely right. So, for instance, the retirement benefit example that I've just had now, people closer to retirement may want to save more towards retirement in order to make sure that they've got the right retirement outcomes, whereas younger people may, have other needs wherein their take-home pay is much more important and they would want to still save for retirement, but maybe at a reduced rate in order for them to have the necessary cash flow to address the needs that they would have, for instance, such as taking children to school. Most of those young people have different needs that may not necessarily be as important in their minds as a long-term retirement outcome at this point. And what they are asking for, therefore, given these different needs, is could there be some flexibility where they can make changes to the level of contribution that they are making year on year, so that as their needs change, they are able to adjust that either by increasing their retirement contributions and or reducing those. There are other factors, obviously, Gugu, in the benefits package that employees are looking at across the different life stages that they may have and according to the different generational needs that employers need to be considerate of.
Got you. And I think it makes complete sense, given where you are in your life, the needs, the requirements and the demands, and how they play an influence. Flexibility, I see coming out of the report, remains very key. Help us understand what flexibility looks like and what employees mean when they have this request.
What's coming out, Gugu, is flexibility in terms of work arrangements. I think post-COVID or during COVID, we saw quite a lot of organizations implementing hybrid work models. And now we're seeing quite a lot of organizations actually calling people back to the office full time. And I think the flexibility from a work arrangements perspective is really coming from those people that have mastered the art of being productive away from the office and obviously going into the office for collaborative reasons or to just create that human interaction. So what we are seeing is people saying, please do not call us to the office for purposes of just being there if we can be productive elsewhere. If there are other reasons like the collaboration, the innovation and so on, it's understandable. But again, not everybody needs to be there. We've already seen a lot of organizations investing in technology that allows for that without necessarily having everybody back, at the office full time. And what we see in Gugu is the reason for that flexibility is also cost consideration. People are saying, if we have to drive back to the office where we can, we don't need to, because the nature of our jobs does allow us to work elsewhere, it then means we are going to incur the high cost of transport, the high cost of energy, the high cost of time and traffic and everything moving around, which takes away from the productivity. But I do realize that organizations are making these considerations subject to the nature of business, the demand from their clients and so on. But what we are seeing here is employees saying, please consider us as well and allow for that hybrid or flexible work arrangement, subject to obviously them being productive and performing in order to sustain the growth and achievement of objectives of the organizations they work for.
100%. I find this so refreshing because for anyone who's listening, we definitely hear many of these comments being shared by some of our listeners who will continue to give us our feedback. But I also don't want to let you go, Cecily Ndiwe, without commenting on the reality that we face in South Africa at the moment, especially on the back of Stats SA having released the first quarter unemployment figures. It shows that the rate is high. Mm. Concerns still remain, and whilst we're aware that we are in an environment where we're trying to optimize levels of employment in South Africa, given your observations in the space that you work in, the efforts by business, the efforts even through policymakers, how else should we, as people who are in the job market still looking for employment, rethink how it is that we position ourselves for employment opportunities?
Yeah, and Gugu, I heard those stats, and I mean, we had published a slightly lower figure to the new numbers, and it is very concerning. And I also noted, as we have been seeing, that the unemployment is even higher amongst the youth, which is obviously unfortunate, because that's the young talent that we should be nurturing to take over from all of us that are currently in employment through succession plans, talent management strategies, and so on. However, the interesting or the difficult or challenging thing about South Africa is that we've actually got a huge skills mismatch. So a lot of organizations are looking for actual skills. We've got a lot of degreed people, because as we can see, universities are doing absolutely a great job in terms of helping create the knowledge base that's necessary for people to be able to get jobs. But what we're finding in the corporate sector, and I'm in that space, is that a lot of the degreed people come out and they don't always have the technical working skills that are sometimes needed. And I'm going to make an example, Gugu, with simple things like mastering your Microsoft package and making sure that you can do a sales pitch presentation. You can write a report. You can speak, to clients.
So
you can
provide
excellent service. Exactly, those basic practical skills that translate the knowledge into something that actually is done in the day-to-day execution of business. That's where the gap is. And I would really encourage people to hone their skills, look for short courses, look for those things that would help them be able to do stuff and really apply that knowledge in a practical and meaningful way in order to serve stakeholders, serve clients, and make a difference in opportunities that they may be looking to obtain. So for me, it's really that skills gap that we need to close, or the skills mismatch, as I said earlier.
100%. Thanks for that, because sometimes we think it's this major hole on skills that we need, but fundamentally it's, you know, going back to the things that we use most often, understand the tools of the trade and use them effectively.
Yes.
And upskill.
Yes.
Right across the journey. Thank you again.
Absolutely.
Cecily Ndiwe, it's always a pleasure speaking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gugu, for inviting us. And we hope that the report that we've published is going to help a lot of organizations and employees for that matter.
Fantastic. Definitely. On the report, can we download it? Is it available to individuals who would like to follow up? We never know who's listening.
Yes, we are available to share highlights of that report if they can contact us at REM Channel, and they can email Lorna Robertson at remchannel.com for a copy of the high-level insights. Fantastic. But we will put it out so that people that are interested can reach us on the various platforms, but most importantly via email.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you again. Really appreciate your time, Cecilia Ndiwe.
Thanks, Gugu, and have a good evening further.
Likewise. That's Lindiwe Sibesho, Managing Director of REM Channel, helping us unpack their latest April 2025 salary and wage survey. And I'm keen to hear your thoughts. As has been mentioned, according to the report, we all know we're struggling with high levels of the cost of living and inflation, essentially, which has put pressure on everyone's pockets, not just those who are entry levels into the job market, but even those who might be presumed to be higher earners. Lots of South Africans leaving their jobs, essentially looking for better career opportunities in terms of growth and higher pay. And flexibility comes up as a big theme in terms of the benefits that South Africans do want. Being able to have a holistic approach to the benefits that they get to enjoy, whether it's a phenomenal retirement savings package that you can save towards, the benefits of medical aid and other levels of security that are provided, or also the flexibility that you might require as someone who wants to grow in your career. These are just some of the themes that have been highlighted in the 2025 April report of REM Channel's Salary and Wage Survey. Share your thoughts with us. What are you doing at your world of work? Are you still staying? Is money enough to keep you? And if money isn't enough when you leave, where do you go and what do you do and why do you leave? 063-688-0959. We're keen to hear your thoughts.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.